In our second lesson today, St. Paul writes to the Christians at Rome that you know the time. It is the hour now for you to wake from sleep. But why? For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is far advanced. The day is at hand. By salvation being nearer at hand, Paul means that each passing day brings the world closer to the return of Christ in glory to judge the living and the dead. And the fact that we cannot know the time of Christ's future coming does not change the reality that each day brings us closer to the last day. And that is why the Lord Jesus teaches us in the gospel today that we must stay awake, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. So the Savior and his apostle agree on our urgent need to be spiritually awakened and to stay awake, lest the return of the Lord fill us with fear rather than joy. But how are we to do that? Paul tells us, "Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day." And how do we put on the armor of light? By living the grace of our baptism. The sacrament of holy baptism is called by several names: second birth, renewal by the Holy Spirit, washing of regeneration, passage through death, and liberation from sin. One of the prefigurings of baptism in the Old Covenant was the flood survived by Noah, which the Lord Jesus mentions in the Gospel today. Holy baptism is also called enlightenment, because in this first sacrament, the soul is filled with grace to receive the light of the Gospel with saving faith and know that Jesus of Nazareth is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. And so St. Paul says that we should throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And then he adds immediately, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. I'll be right back. He's going to join the choir. And then Paul adds immediately, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. Being clothed with Christ is another way in which Paul speaks of holy baptism. And that grace is ordered to freeing us from the darkness, from the desires of the flesh, of which Paul then makes a list, reveling, drunkenness, debauchery, licentiousness, quarreling, and jealousy. But here, we must remember that in biblical usage, the words flesh and body mean different things. The body is created by God and is very good, while the flesh is that part of our physical existence which is in rebellion against the Lord and his law of love. The saints will exist forever in their glorified bodies, but our fallen flesh rejects the Father's eternal plan of salvation and leads us into deeds of darkness. And the remedy for that rebellion of the flesh is grace, God's free and unmerited favor by which we receive the gift of saving faith. St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And now we see the full meaning of Paul's words to the Romans by reference to the grace of holy baptism. Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. But given how easily we stumble and fall into darkness, how are we to stay awake and conduct ourselves properly as in the day? Well, by allowing the living God both to teach us how to live and love and to equip us to do so. And we receive those gifts figuratively in the holy city Jerusalem, at the center of which is the temple. The psalmist sings, "I rejoice because they said to me, 'We will go up to the house of the Lord.' And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city with compact unity, to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord." Going up to Jerusalem is not simply a metaphor, like going up to Oxford is for the British. Jerusalem sits about 2,500 feet above sea level, even though it is only 33 miles from the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The holy city rises over the plains and deserts around it and is built on high places like Mount Moriah, Mount Olivet, and Mount Zion. Pilgrims arriving from every direction literally had to ascend in order to go up to Jerusalem, and their destination was the religious heart of the city, the temple, the dwelling place of God on earth. As we read in the first lesson today, the prophet Isaiah knew that Jerusalem was destined to be the high place of worship and teaching not only for the tribes of Israel, but for all the tribes of the earth, for the whole human race. And so Isaiah wrote that, "In days to come, the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths.'" And in the fullness of time, when the Son of Mary was revealed to be not only the Son of David and the King of the Jews, but also God the Son and the King of all creation, then Jerusalem and its temple were transformed from the place of worship and teaching for the children of Abraham into the same for all the peoples of the earth. But that temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, and so another was needed. Christ's broken body, tortured to death and sealed in a tomb, burst forth from his grave, transfigured in the glory of the resurrection. And the Lord Jesus was thus revealed as the new temple, the eternal high seat of God's glory and the dwelling place of God on earth. And from that day to the last day, the Lord Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life, the only source of perfect praise, authentic worship, and divine teaching for the whole human race. And that is why the Church of Jesus Christ is the New Jerusalem. Christ himself is the new and true temple, the everlasting dwelling place of God with the human race. And in the church, the gospel of salvation is proclaimed to the ends of the earth, and the sacraments of the new covenant are celebrated to unite us by faith, hope, and love to the sacrificial suffering, atoning death, and life-giving resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we accept the grace of salvation from the Messiah and allow him to teach us the full truth about our origin and destiny, then we find enlightenment and liberation from the falsehood and selfishness which lead to wickedness of every miserable kind. But now we come to the deep mystery of lawlessness. Even those who believe in their hearts and confess with their lips that Jesus Christ is Lord must still struggle every day against the rebellion which took root in human nature at the breaking of the world in the beginning of the human story. And that is among the reasons why the Lord Jesus gave his church not only the sacrament of holy baptism, but also the beautiful sacrament of penance and reconciliation, his Easter gift for the forgiveness of our sins. When we return to sin after our baptism, Then we can turn again to the Lord as often as we need to by going to confession and receiving the absolution, which is the renewal of our baptismal innocence. And each time we go to confession, we begin again to follow Christ in the way of the cross, as though after a second baptism. To throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light requires our continual conversion. And the Lord calls us to that interior renovation by faith in his gospel, which requires us to surrender everything we are and have and do and think and say to the teaching and judgment of the Word of God. And then, by receiving worthily the body and blood of Christ in the Most Holy Eucharist, we are strengthened to live according to the teaching of Christ and nourished unto everlasting life. And by living the gospel in the obedience of faith, we paradoxically discover not servitude, but the freedom of the children of God. So, put on the armor of light, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. This first Sunday of Advent begins a new year of grace, and so we are another year closer to our salvation. By our baptism, we are called to be vigilant, to live in the light of the truth, and to be instructed by the Lord, who is light from light and true God from true God. Friends, the Lord Jesus is the divine Redeemer and the only Savior of the entire human race, and he will return in glory at the end of days to reveal finally and fully the eternal kingdom of God. So let us put on the armor of light and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.